Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Second and 10, there was a blitz and a touchdown pass as Baker reacted to the on rusher and got rid of it in time. Hold on, there is a flag at the line of scrimmage.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, a flag at the line of scrimmage, you say?
Yeah, yeah.
Did somebody touch Baker Mayfield? Well, we can't have that.
No.
So... anyway,
it didn't matter.
Look, I always promise at least this when I wake up every day. Dude, somewhere along the road, no matter what's going on, we're going to have some fun. And today is just, it's gut punch Monday. There's no way around that.
Oh, you think?
However, my man handled a 1-1 weekend, which, you know, that's not sparkly, but when you've done what you've done to get to this point, it's pretty sparkly.
Yeah, and 2-1 if you count Thursday, so a 2-1 week so far.
So that knocks you now to 19-6. And for your listening pleasure, we've got two Monday Night Football games coming up, and they're going to start early. They're going to come at you fast now. 4:15 is the first kickoff. Is that the Bills-Falcons game, I think?
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's the first one, right? And then the second one is the Bears and the Commandos. And so we've got two more picks to give. And Dibs, we will do that in an hour and 2 minutes. 4:05.
Okay.
Set your alarms, people. Tell the boss and the spouse to shut up because at 4:05. Shut up. At 4:05, here comes Dibs. And the picks, all right?
And the picks are in.
I still need to pick the pick.
Yeah, the picks are in.
I know, but I need to pick the pick.
Yeah, and just for people who maybe don't follow as closely as you and I do, so far this week, in totality, I'm 10-3. 2-1 on the air, but 10-3 overall. So your boy is having another good week. And
so amazing.
If I just win one of these two, I win my pool again, which would be the third win in 6 weeks.
The Bills are laying 3.5 at the Falcons. The Commanders are laying 5.5 at home against the Bears.
Okay.
At least that's what I have at this moment.
Yeah.
Those are unofficial numbers.
Okay. I'll check on them in a bit.
We'll check on them.
We do have some news.
Got some
Kyle
updates.
Shanahan is speaking on his conference call right now on Fred Warner. He has confirmed it is both a fractured and dislocated ankle. Yep. Surgery is set for tomorrow. When asked about a timetable for return, he said, "We're not expecting this year." On Ricky Pearsall, who did not play again, he said they're still evaluating the knee. On Brock Purdy, he said he's hopeful to get him to do more in practice this week. On George Kittle, he said that the team hopes he returns to practice this week.
Hopefully that's all the big returns stuff. To practice. Okay. I'm also being told, we'll look this up, but did Schefter report that that Kittle is expected back this week?
Yeah, Shanahan says he's hopeful. I mean,
hopeful or expecting? Those are two very different words.
I heard Shanahan say hopeful.
Okay, hang on.
According to sources,
go to Adam Schefter's Twitter says Kyle Shanahan said he expects George Kittle to return to practice this week ahead of Sunday's game.
Okay.
Practice.
Right.
We're talking about practice.
I guess that's the expectation, and they're hoping that it stays that way.
Okay. Yeah.
My guess would be Purdy and Kittle both play.
Think Purdy's going to play?
Yes. That's my Monday prediction.
It's your Monday morning quarterback?
Yeah, it is. And it has nothing to do with Mac Jones. It has everything to do with the fact that, you know, Brock Purdy was, you know, able to run around a little bit last week. And I do think that he's in a better spot. And I think he's closer to being able to play. And I think he's going to play. And even if he doesn't, you're 4-2. You're tied for first in the division. And you are still having a great year, no matter what is happening. 1/3 of the year is done. 6 weeks down, 12 weeks to go. There's no urgency yet about anything. You'd love to beat Atlanta, of course, but you have the Rams the next week.
No, at Houston.
Then the Rams. Okay.
At New York.
Then the Rams.
Then the Rams.
Really? I thought the Rams were coming up.
No, but those are your, like, those are your pre-trade deadline games. I actually do think there's some urgency this week. But I don't think that has anything to do with who you're starting at quarterback. You start, again, like we talk about this all the time. I think it's funny sometimes that we do it so much. You start who's ready to play. If Brock's ready to play, this is Brock Purdy's job, he plays. If he's not ready to play and Mac's ready to play, then Mac plays. If neither of them are ready to play, then Adrian, I'm going to get it right all week, Martinez plays. That's how this works. So anyway, okay, there's your update. More on that in a second. 888-957-9570 is the number. Patrick in Danville is with us on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. A little depressed like everybody else, but got a question for you.
What's up?
You got all these guys out, you know, Ayuk and Kittle and Fred Warner and Purdy, and, I mean, these are the highest paid guys on the team. Is there anything in the NFL where they give them some salary cap space to maybe sign some other guys?
Here's the way, and as a Patrick, thank you. As a non-salary cap expert, I do think there are a couple things that you can do in the framework of injury exceptions and whatnot, and that can maybe create a little bit of space in the moment. However, it pushes things down the road a little bit. So I don't know if the 49ers have done that. I don't know if they will do that. But in a general sense, like the way you asked it, Patrick, I would sort of answer no. Like, is the NFL going to come in with a big fruit basket and be like, we're really sorry
that
this has happened. So here's a bunch of money so that you can replace those people. No. I'm pretty sure the rest of the league would flip their lid if anything like that would happen. So there are things that they can do, and they have a lot of cap space, but they're trying to keep as much of it as possible. They'd like to roll it over to next year when Brock's deal kicks in. So it'll be interesting to see what they would do. For me, as far as how this hits the trade deadline, I eliminate anybody who is in a contract year. To me, yesterday signals a hard no on Trey Hendrickson, because Trey Hendrickson was a move solely for and only for this year. That's why, like, Trey is on a one-year deal. I'm not giving up draft capital to basically go all in on this season when I am missing this many key players. If there are people you can acquire that can help you now that will also help you next year and going into the future, that's a different story. I think the Niners can still make those phone calls.
I think you make all the phone calls. And I mean, if Trey Hendrickson's price goes down or if the draft capital is not that steep, then go ahead and do it. Because I look at where you are, you're 4-2, and yeah, you don't have Fred, and you won't have Nick Bosa, and your offense is going to suddenly be getting better here in the next week or two or three or four or maybe all of it. You're going to get Brock Purdy back, and you're going to get George Kittle back hopefully this week, and we don't know the timeline for any of these guys, but if the offense becomes the real standard bearer, then go ahead and add somebody on the defense. And if the Bengals are continuing to be in this sort of a free fall mode and the price for Hendrickson goes down, then go ahead and go out there and, you know, be in that market. I do think that if you had a pass rusher, your secondary would be a lot better than what we saw yesterday. And yesterday for me it was bad. They were not good.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Just to circle back to Hendrickson, there is a quote directly from Kyle Shanahan just moments ago about this. I'll read it to you in just a sec. But when you say, for instance, if the price goes down, I don't know why it would. There are going to be a lot of teams after Trey Hendrickson. The Colts are in need of a pass rusher, for example, and they've got something to protect here. They're 5-1. I think there are other teams that will be interested. Even if the price were to, quote, come down, which I don't think it will, you're still talking about, like, there's no way you're in that conversation for less than a second-round draft pick. That's not something I would give up for this year. That's something you do if you think you can win the bowl this year. And I think that thought is getting hard for even the most optimistic person in the world. Hi, my name's Mark. Like, how the hell can you even see that through all the weeds that have been created? Here's what Kyle Shanahan just said on the idea of, quote, aggressively pursuing pass rushers via trade and how Fred's injury impacts that from Kyle, quote, I don't think we were being that aggressive in the first place. Not having Fred makes it harder, but I don't see the situation that much different from before the game to now. That's Kyle's answer on that idea.
Right. In other words, we're just going to try and do what we do with this year's crew and hope for the best. And you know what? If we make the playoffs, great, but we don't think that we're going to be a Super Bowl team anyway.
I think that's a little...
bit of a quitter answer to me.
I don't know. Because the word was aggressively. In other words, I think the 49ers will bolster the group. I just
passively.
I don't think they're going to do it at the top of the market.
Right.
So it's not passive. That's smart.
Passive would be going out there and getting somebody off somebody else's practice squad.
No. I think that they could acquire some people, some actual players. I just don't think they'll be on a 1-year deal. And I don't think they're going to give up first or second round capital. But if you can start doing stuff for fifth and sixth rounders, conditional picks, pick swaps, whatever, to grab somebody off of the Jets or like teams
like
that
the Bengals getting Flacco. That was a fifth and a sixth and
exactly.
But that,
I think the Niners will do, I think they will do something, but I think they'll be smart. And I agree with that. Like, what are we trying to do here? This Sunday, the kickoff show with Lo Neal and Evan Giddings will be live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale starting at 3. Gonna have all the early games on. Beer Garden's gonna be rocking with a DJ, bartenders with Gold Bar Whiskey Specials. I'm in. If you're going to the game, you can sign up for the free shuttle to the stadium right now. It's first come, first serve, so I wouldn't wait. Go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com, and sign up now. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco, taking your calls all afternoon. 888-957-9570 is the number. Your calls right now. Let's get a little further into the Juwan situation. Did you take sides on that? What did you see in the Jennings, Kyle Shanahan sideline debacle? 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course, he's got Sterling Shepard out there, his old college teammate. But he's not going to have a chance. Oh, yes, he is. He fights through the sack. Looking for first down yard. Oh, my goodness, he's done it again. Oh, that is pure Baker Mayfield. Absolute Baker at his best. He broke a couple of tackles. They had him for a sack. Then they had him at least 8 yards short of the first. He fought through them all. Second and 11. Going for a big ball. Down the field. He's got an open target. Oh, what a catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Tez Johnson. That's his first NFL touchdown. And a magnificent flip to go with it.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was great, Granny. Thanks for playing those. That was really fun.
Uncle Ricky.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I mean,
no, really, no, that was great. Thanks.
And I'm looking at my notes because I watched the game last night. Late. It was a late night rewatch.
For the rewatch. Okay.
The rewatch. Yeah. I watched it and I was like, you know what? I don't want to wait till tomorrow for the rewatch. Mm-hmm. And my lovely wife went to bed early. I was like, you know what? We're gonna do the deep rewatch. Touchdowns from K Johnson and T Johnson?
Yeah.
Who?
Yep.
Who are you? Ibuka? No.
No.
Ibuka Evans? No.
He's hurt.
Godwin? No.
Hurt. Yeah.
Right. So Bucky Irving had a couple.
No, he's out.
Right. So I mean, as much as we wanna like Fred Warner, put him aside, that's a tragedy. But all the rest of it, like Tampa Bay beat you with two Johnsons, Johnson and Johnson. Shout out Jim Nantz with the great Johnson and Johnson.
Yep.
And shout out Tony Romo for assuming that it was B. Robinson who was coming back off suspension. Oops, wrong Robinson, but that's okay. He had a good game otherwise.
All good.
Johnson and Johnson and Shepard.
Yeah, but I look at it from the standpoint.
I know Shepard, I mean,
the 49ers have had scrap heap Kendrick Bourne go for $152
sure.
games in a row. So,
yeah.
Like, this
and
is.
Juwan Jennings had a catch.
Oh. Okay. I'm so glad that you just framed this that way.
He had a catch.
This is my point.
Third and Juwan.
This is my point. I would love, and I. Boy, does
Number
this.
Number one.
This sucks because
nice.
It's going to make it sound like I'm painting with a broad brush. I know that a lot of receivers have their heads screwed on straight. I get it. A lot of them do. And I thought Juwan was one of them. And I'm going to stay open-minded because I don't really know what happened on the sideline yesterday. And I get it that he's ticked. I really do. He's a warrior. He's playing through so much pain. He's frustrated from the offseason. Whether we agree with that frustration or not doesn't matter. He's mad. He's mad and he's playing through pain, and when you're in pain, you snap on people. So this is not necessarily that. But did you watch the last 2 weeks of 49ers and Buccaneers football? Hey, wide receivers, you're not that valuable. You just aren't. The league went and got itself in a big old heap of trouble by deciding that these first-round fantasy picks are worth $30 and $40 million a year. They're not. They're not. Because Kendrick Bourne can come in and go for 300 yards in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And the Bucs can lose Godwin and Evans and Ibuka and bust 30 on your butt 2 weeks in a row and go 5-1.
With Johnson and Johnson.
And Tom Brady can make a career out of it. So, hey Bengals, how you doing? Are you having fun?
Hey Niners, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? Like, it's moronic. Hey Eagles, how you doing? It's moronic to give these players $30 and $40 million a year. And I'm going to say that across the board. Justin Jefferson is a damn light in this league.
Puka Nacua.
Incredible. And maybe he's an exception.
And he got hurt too, though, right?
He got hurt.
Yep.
He got hurt. He's a maybe for this week in London. It's not a bad injury, but yeah, he got hurt. But like, dude, there are certain guys. Justin Jefferson, for example, I think is a phenomenal teammate. He's truly a great player. But like, I'm sorry, receivers, you're complimentary. You're complimentary, and you are much more replaceable than about six other positions on the field. It's been proven
yeah.
over and over and over again. Yet every week, I'm on Red Zone, and there's another one either yelling at a coach or reading a book or talking to reporters in the locker room about how, I didn't know about a meeting. What meeting? I didn't go to a meeting. Everyone else like there was a meeting. I didn't go. Well, you were there. I don't remember what you're talking about. It's like, guys, read the room for a second. Can you please read the room? Read the room. Like the NFL's gotten itself up a creek by doing what they're doing with these contracts.
It's crazy. And if you look at the Niners' first half targets by wide receiver last year, how many of them were to players who were on the team last year? I don't want you to rack your brain too much, and I'm going to give you the answer. The answer is zero. And the targets to wide receivers were born. And then you got DeMarcus Robinson. You got two to MVS. And then you got DeMarcus Robinson again. He dropped it. And that's when you had the Juwan Jennings blow up, where you could see on the broadcast, Kyle Shanahan actually lowers his mic and he turns to him as if to say, like, what are you doing? Like, clearly to me, Juwan was saying, I wouldn't have dropped that. And I don't know, and yeah, maybe I'm projecting, but whatever he said, Kyle was not happy with, because as the plays rolled on and Cam Inman on his Twitter laid this out beautifully, and then, you know, you had DeMarcus again for 31, you had DeMarcus, and then DeMarcus incomplete, and then you kick the field goal, and you go into the half, and whatever happened, happened, and you come out. First play, Juwan's out there, false start, Juwan Jennings. And that was the opening snap of the third quarter. Yep. So, yep. To your point, like, wide receivers, I mean, not that you're not important, but you're maybe less important than what we all think.
You're very important, but, like, why is this behavior seems to always be from that position? Not always, but, like, you know, a lot of it. A lot of it. And it's really not even, I mean, I could give a rip how guys behave. It's an emotional sport. So if y'all want to yell at each other up and down the sideline, it's not like that's only receivers. My bigger issue is, like, we spend so much time coming down the road of teams for how they've financially handled the quarterback position, and I think it's nuts. First of all, there's one of them. And second of all, you can clearly see seasons get turned sideways when those guys get hurt. But here's wide receivers out here who are all over the place. They want 30 mil. They want 40 mil. They're holding out. This happened two off seasons in a row with the 49ers. Actually make it three out of four if you add Debo into the mix. And then here comes Baker Mayfield, who's like, you want me to drop 30 with someone named Tez, who's never caught a touchdown in his life? No problem. Hold my beer. And it's just like, you guys, like, please read the room. Be awesome. You can absolutely make a difference. But there's too many wide receivers in this league right now who are making an absolute mockery of the sideline and their coach and play calling and the decisions made by the quarterback. You literally sound like they're in high school, where everybody runs up. Actually, I should keep going. You sound like the 10-year-old kids in flag football. They all say the same thing. They get back to the huddle and they go, I was open.
Yep.
Great. I don't care that you were open. We ran a play. Did we get a first down? We're trying to move the ball down the field. I'm glad you were open. Go get open again. It's just, it's wild. It's wild what's happened to this position, and the NFL is complicit. These teams are complicit because they've agreed. They've agreed. It started with the Miami Dolphins, quite frankly, and the Tyreek Hill deal. I don't know how many games they've won since they started all this with Tyreek Hill.
Well, it even started before that with Antonio Brown going live on Facebook Live from the Steeler locker room.
Right.
Talking about this and that, and then going to the Raiders, and I burned my hands in a frozen ice chamber.
Yeah,
but
if you go crazy, you go crazy. I'm talking about the contract.
Sure.
Like, the Chiefs are sitting there, they're Super Bowl champs, and the Dolphins are like, we'll do $30 million a year, and the Chiefs are like, have him.
Yeah.
Are you crazy? And look at the way the Chiefs have handled the receiver position since then. They keep winning. How the Dolphins doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got a receiver who can't take a punch, Juju Smith-Schuster. We can get into that in the post game.
Don't come down Juju's road.
I'm not.
That's completely on branches. That's a sucker
crazy
move.
Crazy scene. Yeah. It was totally a sucker move. And meanwhile, as we talk about wide receivers, Jennifer Lee Chan on NBC Sports Bay Area now reporting that Brandon Ayuk has scrubbed his Instagram again of the 49ers, and so maybe his eventual return may not be as smooth as, I'm healthy, I'm ready. And so, you know, to your point about the wide receiver position and the 49ers, you've got a coach yelling at a receiver in the middle of a two-minute drill, by the way, where he has other things that he probably should and would rather be doing.
Yes.
And now you've got Brandon Ayuk again reportedly scrubbing his feed of Niner content.
Who knows? He probably thinks he's ready to be back.
And they don't think so.
Yeah. And the 49ers largely, most like all teams, they're trying to function. And my God,
yeah,
they've had a lot of adversity to deal with. and what do we have? And again, I know we're projecting. I'm not in these conversations. I'm guessing. But so far, what have we got? We've got Brandon Ayuk, who potentially thinks he's supposed to be playing, while the Niners are sitting here dealing with the complete heart and soul of their team and his legs going the wrong way. And in the middle of a two-minute drill, we got Juwan Jennings yelling that I don't know, maybe he should be on the field instead of DeMarcus Robinson. Well, he's got then admits after the game that he's completely compromised. I don't even know how the hell he can breathe. So
it's only 5 broken ribs.
I mean, let's
you got 24 broken ribs. I mean, that's barely a quarter of his ribs broken.
Are there 24?
12 on each side, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he had 19 other ones?
Yeah. He had 19 good ones.
Good.
Whatever. 5 broken ribs.
Have you ever broken a rib?
Come on.
I know. That's why I ask.
I've broken a rib.
I've heard it's just awful.
The worst.
Is it awful?
It's awful, especially if it's an upper rib. Mine was a lower rib. Upper rib near the lung. Like, you can't really breathe. Mine was a lower rib, and when you have the belly room that I have, it's like, oh, I broke a rib. Whatever.
You're like, I didn't even know that we had those
Seriously,
in there.
I thought I had a tummy ache from those carnitas. Broken rib.
5 broken ribs. He said he's got a low and a high ankle sprain, which I don't even know how this is possible. But whatever, dude. And don't forget his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's in tremendous pain.
And the calf.
The calf is tricky. So I don't actually know.
Trades are hard.
Oh, my God. All right, let's see. Just so everybody can weigh in on this, here's kind of...
Got to be delicate with those calves.
To the best of our ability, let's hear what kind of happened on this sideline, at least from the two gentlemen involved, all right? So here's what Juwan Jennings said with regard to the dialogue with Shanahan on the sideline.
Oh, man, you had to ask him.
Ask him, he said it was just a complete conversation between two people.
Probably, you had to just ask him.
Okay, so you got to talk to him. You got to ask him. So Juwan doesn't want anything to do with it. Here's him talking about the 5 broken ribs.
Yeah, I got 5 broken ribs.
Is your plan to just do pain tolerance?
Oh, yeah, it's football. I love pain. I wouldn't be playing this sport if I didn't. You know, it's part of it, man. You got to enjoy every little thing that comes with it, and pain is one of those.
Okay, so football player confirms that football players are crazy. Yeah, no problem. I love pain. Well, awesome year to be a Niner then, because there's plenty of it to go around, apparently. Here's what Kyle Shanahan said with regard to the interaction with Juwan on the sideline.
Just intense competitive conversation between two people and at the end of the second quarter, but we were good.
Okay. So just an intense conversation.
Right.
Now, there were follow-ups today with Shanahan, 2 quotes on Juwan. 1 about Juwan's honesty about those injuries.
Yeah, I think Juwan's in a good mental space. I think Juwan's a very emotional player. I think that's one of the things that makes him great. So anytime we have a tough loss like that he is banged up and playing through a lot of stuff, you know, I don't think he's in the best mood, especially after a loss like that. But Juwan is good. Juwan battled completely to come play in that game. I know he'll battle again to do it this week. Got a lot of love for Juwan. I hope he can get healthier so he can get back out there and be more consistent for us.
He was also asked about the shouting match.
You know, 2 people who know each other pretty well and are pretty competitive about other things can have really, really intense conversations that don't always come off as a normal conversation, just hanging out, you know, after a press conference with you. But it's stuff that you don't, you know, you don't need to make too many assumptions about, because it wasn't anything that big of a deal. Yeah, we were aggressive and intense in our conversations, but I think conversations like that can also lead to making people closer and leading to a better outcome for people.
He was asked also, did he follow up with Juwan today? And the answer was no.
Right. Like, why would you?
No.
Why would you? If it really is just that, like, intense, competitive people having a conversation in real time, you don't need to get together and say, you know, Juwan, I'm sorry and stuff that I barked at you. And, you know, coach, I lost my cool and I shouldn't have barked at you. If you're both that competitive and in that moment, it's just a question of, like, you know, put me in, you know, close your mouth, blank you, no blank you. All right. And then, you know, you call the next play. And that's kind of what I thought it was. But the bigger question to me is the way the response was from Juwan, where, all right, we're going to start the third quarter and you're out there and you false start. And then you get in the red zone, and Juwan Jennings goes out there and levels in a totally unnecessary offensive PI, crackback sort of a block that ultimately made it so you had to settle for a field goal on a drive where if you would have had a touchdown, that game would have been totally different.
There's one question to Shanahan today also about Ayuk. And in the wake of what you just talked about with him potentially doing something with his Instagram and scrubbing Niners or whatever, I don't even know like the relevancy of that right now because Ayuk is not playing, but Shanahan was asked when he is expected back.
No time frame. I mean, I always look around that week 10 thing, but we're not putting an exact date on it. I know he's rehabbing real hard and put together a few good weeks here, and hopefully he's getting closer and closer, which I believe he is. But no, we're not giving an exact date on it.
Okay. Something around week 10. He's put some good weeks together, but I don't know. And maybe that's what ticked Brandon off. I have no idea. Maybe he thinks he's ready to go.
Maybe. I mean, the fact that he, again, for the second time, has scrubbed his social media of Niner content. And normally, I would think this is a big nothing burger, but in this day and age of athletes and social media, it's actually more of a thing, I believe. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk has been very active in his passive-aggressive moves on social media. And so, yet again, when he does something like this, he's telling all of us that he's not happy with the current situation with the Niners.
Yeah. Speaking of receiving yardage with the Niners, do you think you could get the top three Niners in terms of receiving yardage in order?
This year?
In order. How do you think it goes? Do you think their leading receiver is?
In yardage, I would guess it would go McCaffrey 1, Bourne 2, and 3 is 3 is tricky. 3 is hard. Tonjes.
Ooh. You were doing so well.
Juszczyk?
You're forgetting you when you think of it.
Oh, Pearsall. There you go. Still Ricky.
Tonjes is number 4.
Yeah. All right.
Tonjes is number 4.
Just give me the buzzer, Grandy, while you're there. It would feel much better.
No, that was good. I get that he's out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. And by the way, of all the injury updates today, is that not the most sort of head-scratching, concerning one? Ricky Pearsall's injury update today is, quote, still evaluating.
Right.
And the George Kittle one is they hope he can play. Purdy, they hope he's back to practice. Something tells me that, they're telling you that Kittle, I think they think he can probably go. Purdy, a little bit more of a coin flip. And Pearsall, they're going to hold close to the vest because I think they thought he was going to practice and play last week, and he didn't. So now they don't want to make any promises. That's kind of just my read based on what they said today.
And so if you're Juwan and you're playing with a bad ankle, high and low, you got a shoulder issue and 5 broken ribs, and you can't get the ball. And meanwhile, Ricky's got, he's got a knee. I mean, he's got a PCL. And, you know, Ricky's not playing.
There's some instability in there, Dibs.
There is.
Yeah.
But you're Juwan, and you've got 5 broken ribs, a bad ankle in 2 spots, and a bad shoulder, and you can't get the football?
Maybe you shouldn't be playing.
Well.
Like, admirable. That's
he's
great.
He's playing because he wants his incentives, and he has to do that for incentives because your contract that you gave him was all tied to that.
Well, that's a terrible reason to play.
I'm just telling you that if I'm Juwan, why he's playing. And this is why he's mad. Because DeMarcus Robinson couldn't play for 3 games because he did things that were against the law. And now he comes back and he's able to run around and get my passes.
He's healthy.
He's also able to get my targets.
He's faster. He's also was a big part of the plan this year.
But he also drops the ball all the time.
No, he dropped 1 ball. Let's not do that. Kendrick Bourne has had like 6 horrible
and
drops.
There's another point.
Like,
if you're Juwan, you're looking at both these guys thinking, I mean, can I go out there and eat?
I don't know, Juwan. Can you just stay still until we snap the ball?
That was one play. I'm playing devil's advocate because I mean, DeMarcus, that was a gigantic drop.
Yes, but he came back with a huge catch on the next play. Like, I mean, they're going to drop some. Bourne was like, seriously? The Jacksonville game was brutal for Kendrick Bourne.
If I'm Juwan Jennings, I'm looking at both of those and I'm thinking, I've been a soldier for you. I'm playing with 5 broken ribs and I can't get a target?
Yeah, we're trying to win the game, Juwan.
Right. Well, throw me the ball and we might win the game.
I don't know. You can't. Can you get open? Can you move?
He was open on that third and Juwan.
He
converted it.
Yeah, good catch.
And he got, I think, three targets in the game?
I'd have to look. Real quick, Dave in the city. Hi, Dave. Thanks for the call. What's up?
What's up with the Tribulation Sensation crew?
Outta babe, Dave.
It is, I think we need to just cut bait on Brandon. I mean, Jesus Christ. He's such a diva. He is such a diva. It's been like last offseason. Now he's unfollowing. I mean, he's already damaged goods. I mean, just cut bait with the guy. He can't read the room. We just lost Fred. And, like, man, I just feel like there's so much diva-ness going in that locker room with the receiving corps. And if you just, if you don't want to be here, just, you know, say it and we could get him out of here. I just have to say that because, yeah.
Dave, I get it. I get it. Thanks. I'm a little hesitant on this one today because I don't actually even know what Brandon did. And if he did something on social media, okay. You know, is Brandon mad again? I don't know. Our Brandon takes are all like, you know, see August of 2024 if you want Brandon Ayuk takes. I wanted them to trade him then. And my wish has been for a while that when Kyle Shanahan ran upstairs to stop the trade, the door was locked. If only the door had been locked, then maybe Brandon would be a Steeler and the Niners would be in better shape financially at that position. But it didn't happen. We can keep talking about it. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fourth and five. Throwing for it and intercepted. That's Dean. Jamel Dean with the interception. There is a flag back at the 44-yard line.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I want to get back to Fred Warner. He is confirmed out for the year by the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan today. And also, look, I mean, it feels like yesterday's performance is going to get the world to kind of stop this whole drumbeat of like ride the hot hand thing. But I thought Mac Jones was really good. I thought he was really good in the game. I was never on the ride the hot hand train. But like, I don't think you should take yesterday as some sort of an example of Mac Jones not playing well. I didn't think that. Did you?
He was fine. I mean, he was probably better than fine considering what he had to deal with, which was, again, no ability to run the ball and an offensive line that refused. I don't know if they refused. That's not fair. I don't think that they made a conscious decision.
I didn't see any protests.
Occasionally, I see my three-year-old refuse to eat, which is different than that what we saw. But they did not show an ability to pass protect. And we can talk about Trent Williams and whether or not he's lost a step. And I do think that he is not. He's not playing at a Hall of Fame level.
No.
Dominic Pooney is getting absolutely overwhelmed. And it's easy to say, well, he's going up against the pride of Milpitas, Vita Vea. And Vita Vea had at least two plays where he took Dominic and he lifted him up.
Yep.
And he put him on the ground. And then he went trample, trample, trample. Where's Mac? I'm looking for Mac Jones. And he eventually got there. And Lavonte David and the rest of the Tampa front. The Tampa front is good. But it seems like every week, oh boy, that Ram front, they're good. And the Jacksonville front, they're also good. Seattle's defense is no joke. At what point do we stop and say, this offensive line is not very good?
Yeah, you got to beat some people. You got to beat some people.
You got a rookie left guard. Your center is not great. Your right guard is in a deep, deep slump. Your left tackle's Hall of Fame, but he's 37. And you know what? Your right tackle's had a pretty good year,
I think.
He's been
solid, yeah. Colt McKivitt's
been
solid.
But beyond that, your best blocking tight end is on IR, and you're left with a quarterback who's not mobile, and now he's got a bunch of Buccaneers in his face. Right in the face!
Every single time you bring it up, I sit here and I go, right, so again, how are they 4-2?
Yeah.
Right? You don't run the ball.
Nope.
You don't pass protect.
No, you don't intercept the ball.
12 games now?
Yep.
12 games
NFL
without,
record.
Without an interception. And you cannot rush the passer. 4-2. Favored this Sunday.
Right. And if you look at yesterday.
Just crazy.
If it wasn't for Baker Houdini on that 3rd-and-14 play, if you stop him there,
you get the ball back. Yeah.
You're down one. You already have the momentum. I'm not saying that you go on and win the game, but the fact that he was able to pull that off and then two plays later, the deep throw to Tez Johnson where your secondary, and I mean, they're young and they're going to make mistakes, but there are two or three or four plays where it's like, is anybody guarding anybody?
Look, this right now, this is kind of what I'm looking at, and this is why I'm saying that I watched the football game yesterday basically with like readers on. You know what I mean?
Shout out Steiny.
Yeah, you ever watch a TV with readers on? The whole thing's just fuzzy because readers are for up close.
I've never worn readers.
Do you go to a restaurant that's dark at night and like they've got a menu with like really little writing or like a fun font on it?
Right.
Are you able to do that without readers at your age?
Okay. First of all, watch your mouth. You know I've had a tough day.
Or at my age.
Second of all, until my arm is no longer long enough, right now.
Sometimes it's dark, so I can do the arm thing, but if it's dark and you want to see the description of the chicken cacciatore, like what's in there? What do you got in there? And the writing is little and in a cursive font. You got that in your bag in a dark room?
If I don't got that, I'm going to ask somebody.
If you don't know, you better ask somebody.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the waiter or waitress, hey, are there capers in this? Because I'm not a huge fan of a caper. Shout out, James.
And Dom.
Thank you. But I'm going to go ahead and go full arm. I'm not wearing readers. Readers are, they're going to enable your eyes to be weaker.
Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah, get me Doc Pandya. The more you rely on...
I don't think Doc Pandya does eyes, but anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, whatever, Craig Bindy's on the phone. The more you enable your eyes to get assistance, the weaker they get.
Okay, yeah.
Well, anyway.
I want to see what the hell's in the chicken.
Right, so I'm watching the
actually
game.
Actually, don't bring them either. I'll do something even more embarrassing. Like, I'll flash the flashlight on my phone and just be like, I'm just going to read this thing.
Yep.
And it's embarrassing, but whatever. Anyway, back to the point. The reason I say I watched the game with readers is I could not see through the gut punch of the Fred Warner injury. And so, I remember the whole game yesterday. We can sit here and talk it out, but I found it difficult to watch that game in the normal rooting process, X's and O's way that I normally watch a football game, because about every four plays, I would just look up at the ceiling in my living room and go, oh my God, I can't believe that dude is in the locker room with an air cast on right now. I can't believe this. And that changed my thought on who's the guy that you just really, really can ill afford to lose. And that player for me is Fred Warner. I don't see how the Niners, like, you can function, you can win games. Who knows? They could still make the playoffs somehow. But I don't see how they have a chance to still function at a really high level this year. There's got to be an end to this. You can't just lose all your good players. And they've lost almost all of their good players.
I mean, not even close. Like,
what do you mean not even close?
You haven't lost them all. Like, Brock is coming back. George is coming back.
But they're gone for now. Like, for right now.
You've had D'Amador Lenore.
Yes.
He's still been there. You've had Trent Williams, Hall of Fame left tackle.
That's
weird. He's been there.
Although, as you say, he's not playing like one. But that's why I said almost all.
Sure.
Like, if I gave you a list of like...
Well, we did this 2 years ago, and I was the one who told you that the quarterback is probably fifth or sixth.
Well, and I don't think he's fifth or sixth, but that's not even what I was about to do. What I'm saying, if I gave you like a pack of football cards, I'd be like, who are the 10 Niners whose football card you want this year? If you were like a kid or an avid collector. And let's say we came up with 8 or 9 or 10 names.
Not 10.
7 of them are hurt.
Well, I mean...
Are they not?
I mean, if
Brock
you want...
Brock Purdy's on the list. Kittle's on the list.
Christian and Trent and Diamondor would be 3 of the 10.
Does Trent fit on a football card?
That would have to be...
Anyway, you know, Ricky Pearsall, Brandon Ayuk, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, you get the idea. And actually, even Juwan, until he fought through it.
Yeah, I mean, even Juwan.
No, I mean, would he not be on the top 10 of players?
Probably not, but...
Close.
I mean, depending on how you look at football, I would put Kyle Juszczyk on there.
Okay, I mean...
We're getting down to 8, 9, and 10, and we can
Christian,
all...
Christian, you got Demo, and you've got Trent. That's what you got. That's it. That's it for your big-name, high-priced players. That's all you got. That's brutal.
Right, but it doesn't mean that you can't go out there and still win football games and be a playoff team.
You're allowed to.
And,
but I mean,
quite frankly, I'm not going to say you should, because it gets tougher, but you're still favored against Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you're going to be favored against the Giants, and you're still going to be favored in a lot of these games down the stretch. And I know that doesn't mean that you automatically get to win. You don't, but Brock is coming back. Kittle's coming back.
Maybe.
Ayuk is coming back if they let him.
Yeah, maybe. Like, aren't we done making assumptions of who's coming back and when?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, Brock will be back either this week or the week after.
He already came back once and immediately had to leave again.
Right, but you would assume that he will be back. And you look at Tampa yesterday, and they didn't have a lot of their fancy football card people, and yet they still were able to go out there and win by double digits.
They had their whole defense, but yeah.
Didn't have, you know... Their top flight rookie went out in the second quarter, and their other two receivers were not there. And their amazing running back, who you've been raving about for a year and a half, rightfully.
They probably have the best backup running back in the game, quite frankly. That was their starter the last 2 years.
The Niners have a great running back, a great backup, but they choose not to use him.
That's true.
And he had, I checked the set, no carries yesterday for Brian Robinson. So, you know, you can use your backup however you want to use him. And they actually threw to him a couple times. And
did they have him returning kickoffs yesterday?
Thank God.
That's new, right?
Yes. It's new because they don't trust Isaac Garendo. I think Garendo played. I didn't really look at the other special team snaps.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
The Sky Moore experience, please. Kyle Shanahan or whoever else is out there in Ninerland listening right now, please. Enough. Enough of the Sky Moore experience. Him catching a punt at the 2 and then catching a punt at the 4. Like, can we get this man a GPS on his watch to where when you backpedal beyond the 10, your watch goes beep, 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 beep. It tells you to run away from the punt. Mark, he caught the punt.
Now it's ridiculous.
Backing up at the 2.
It's ridiculous.
And I'm like, I'm going to text Grandy, but I didn't.
It's ridiculous.
And then he caught one at the 4. And I was like, you know what? My team hates when I text during the game because I'm either talking about my pick, which was right, or I'm talking about negative S. But after he did a second one, I was like, Grandy needs to feel, because I was feeling Grandy from afar.
Yep.
It's like, Sky Moore, why Moore?
Well, thank you. Hey. I actually still want him returning kickoffs because he's the best on the team at it. Although, can somebody ask Kyle at his next media availability, do Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing still exist? Where are, like...
It's fair.
Did they get high ankle sprains and die? When are they coming back? I would like Jacob Cowing to return punts.
Ankles are tricky.
If he's ever going to play football for this team, that's what I would do.
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
So.
Questionable concern. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a limited amount of stuff in practice yesterday.
Time for the legal.
Yes, it sure is. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Mug Studios.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.